Buffalo, New York. Watch you don't sunburn your frostbite. It's the Struggle Is Real Buffalo Music Podcast.
And welcome to the Struggle Is Real Buffalo Music Podcast, where we talk about the ups, downs, lefts, rights,
and 180 incorrectly filled out Buffalo Infringement Festival applications. Damn it.
See, this is why you rehearsed the script, Mike. All right, of the Buffalo music scene, I'm Ryan Gurnett, and I'm so excited about our move to Think Twice Radio that I got a haircut. How about you, Mike?
Oh, wow. Yeah. Hey, I'm Mike Sid. I thought it'd be a good time to buy a second pair of underwear. You know.
Gross, Mike. All right, welcome to episode number 38. On today's episode, we're going to talk with a few members of local pop punk band The Spinwires. They'll be talking to us about how they've made money with their music through publishing and licensing. We'll discuss their new EP titled Designated Distraction, which is released on June 29th, and we'll be playing a song from it.
We'll also be playing music from Sean and B, Ian McEwen, and more.
So, folks, if you've noticed, well, first off, if you're watching right now on Think Twice Radio's Facebook page, hi, guys.
Hey.
We're new to you. We're the Struggle Is Real Buffalo Music Podcast. So, our idiocy is going to sound even more clear. There's going to be more clarity behind all the stupid nonsense that comes out of our mouths. So, we have left our wonderful friends at LWNY.com. We have come here to Think Twice Radio. We have video capabilities. We have a beautiful studio. There is a team of people working here to make this place better. And a big shout out to Richard, who runs this place. He's doing a great job here. And if are interested in podcasting and you don't have the means to do so, Think Twice Radio is a great place to go to do it. Richard offers his studios for free to anyone who needs it. And I've only been here for a few hours. He's also already been super, super helpful.
Yep, just like at home. This is cool.
Yeah. Aww. So I want to yell about something, Mike.
Let's do it.
All right. I've been very, very busy. I've been working on the Buffalo Infringement Festival schedule for like 5 to 6 hours a day for like the last like 2 weeks. And this
diligent.
This is not to pick on Infringement Festival bands or any particular people, but this is just, I feel like this is a microcosm for what bands seem to be doing wrong with their own promotion. So, yeah, we have 180 proposals. I'd say at least 95 of them were filled out wrong. And it's stuff that's as simple as just like, hey, what's your social media address? And it's like, oh, I'm on 29 Linwood. It's like, really?
I think the yes or the no ones kind of threw people off, too. That's,
really?
That's tough sometimes, man.
So first off, 140 characters means a letter is a character, a space is a character, a number is a character.
Wingdings count, too, don't they? Well,
yes. Thank you, Mike.
You're welcome.
One person, I think he included at least 140 separate links to different images of himself playing. We have, like, some of these things are literally, like there might be some that's, like, 140 paragraphs.
Yeah, well, 140 links, though. He could have done 40 more and hit 180, so he was below his limit. We're good.
We need to have a set limit on the proposals, but, you know, just, and it's, you know, this stuff sounds trivial, but on one hand, you know, there are people on the back end of this festival who actually have to go in and fix some of these things, which is a giant pain. But also, you know, get your shit right, because if, you know, this is Infringement Festival, we accept anyone. So even no matter how crappy your proposal is, I take it.
Be infringy.
That's great about it.
Be infringy. Do things right.
But if you're looking,
no one does.
If you're looking at other festivals and you're filling this stuff out and you look way less professional than all the other bands, people just aren't going to work with you. I have a few just shining examples I wanted to share. One of the things we ask is the bands to show a link, either audio or video, of what their performance is like. One band did not include a link to their band. They instead included a mic. It's the microphone. Here.
I'm Mike. I'm supposed to do that.
you found your place early. So they included a link to a live performance from Travis Scott from a music festival 4 years ago. I called him and I'm like, so what is it? Do you have a video? Like, what kind of representation of what you're doing is on there? And she goes, well, we don't have anything. I have some video and it's on the way and there's some music coming, but I don't have anything. And then there's just a long pause and she goes, can I just tell you what my music sounds like? And she wanted to play at the Albright Knox, too. And it's like, hey, we don't book the Albright Knox, and I think you at least need a demo available to play the Albright Knox. Also important, please include your band's full name in the bio. Like, seriously, like, you shouldn't want to hide what band you're in. Spinwires, do you have your full names in your, like, on your Facebook page? Or are you guilty of this as well?
No, full names, yeah.
Thank you. Like, I mean, you play in a band for a long time, and you build a reputation, and hopefully it's a good one. But if someone just sees, oh, Mike's the singer, without a last name, they don't know who that is. They don't know what former bands he's been in that might be interesting to them. And just even from what I do with this podcast, it's hard to find people for interviews or to set things up when it's just you know, this is Steve I. He plays bass. It's like, that helps me.
Yeah, that's a soup sandwich.
That helps me none. super important, folks. I think I've pointed this out many times on this podcast. No. Yeah, I'm going to look right in the camera when I say this. No, your music does not defy genre. If you can't explain what your band does in, like, two sentences, you really got to start thinking about what you're doing. I you get stuff like music for the anemic soul, a soundtrack of color and loneliness, and the stark sensations of this life. Reaching for sincerity, a soundscape of honest self-expression and exploration of human thoughts. Then it goes into eating beer, we forget the chorus. Summer is here in a black sweater. It all smells the same, but feels different.
Very Morrissey-like.
I don't even know. What? Yeah, I did point out again about social media. Just if you can't fill out the social media portion correctly, talk to your kids. They probably know. They know what a social media address is. They can. I've even had some people. I'm like, hey, even for this podcast, it's like, hey, can you send me a track? And they're like, I can bring a CD to your house. Mike, I'm putting you in charge of this video thing next time.
Cause nice, man.
I'm lost here. I'm just fiddling.
Fiddle away, dude.
There's you. For those people watching the video, it's really weird to be... I'm fine on camera, but having to watch myself, there's four different televisions right now that are showing my face, and it's kind of freaking me out. All right. Here are just a couple other wonderful snippets I've taken out. One is, our species is on the cusp of a new era, or potentially extinction. Let us sing praises, exorcise our collective demons, please the deities of the technium, and ensure a harmonious transition to a post-human world.
Technium, is that like a MCU thing?
I think I want to start pulling these descriptions out and make people guess what the band actually sounds like.
That'd be great.
Oh. And here's one last one. Oh, boy. I'm gonna take the artist's name out, but... This is a bio. This isn't just someone writing this on a website or a blog. This is, if there's one thing that I can promise you, it's that Blank's music is revolutionary. He has an aura surrounding him that he uses to impact people emotionally in very unique and sincere ways. As a person who is with him often, I've seen multiple instances in which he positively alters one's perceptions and perspectives of life, religion, and enforces the power of believing in oneself. This goes on for like six more sentences, and it says literally nothing.
Wow.
That's intense.
Yes. Yes. I've actually, and not to pick on them in particular, I've been seeing with a lot of local hip-hop musicians especially that, like, you get in there, and it's all just like a list of, like, my music changes the world, and I'm a premier musician, and I could read this whole thing. He stresses his desire to always be there for people just because he understands life can make you feel really alone at times, so he makes sure to let his fans know that their happiness and success is the reason he stands strong every day. Come on.
He's representing.
Mike, what does he represent to you? You're
Confusion.
Better. What does his music sound like?
Confusion.
There you go. All right.
Now we're catching on quick after a long time.
So, we're going to play a song next. Do you want to complain about infringement stuff, Mike?
I'm good, man. Give me some time. We can do something, I'm sure.
Okay, well, we got a week before the next episode.
Yeah, we do.
So first, we are going to play some Ian McEwan. If you have never heard Ian before, he makes beautiful music. This album came out last April. It's called Songs of Fleeting Permanence, Volume 2. Ian's kind of a mix between kind of Iron and Wine meets Elliott Smith. It's very sad, very...
Very melancholy.
Very melancholy and nice. Sad, but it's also very, very beautiful. So I don't know what we're going to do for you people watching on the stream, but for listening on the podcast, here is Tainted Memory by Ian McEwan on the Struggle is Real Buffalo Music Podcast on thinktwiceradio.com. And that was Tainted Memory by Ian McCune here on the Struggle is Real Buffalo Music Podcast on thinktwiceradio.com. I still got to get muscle memory saying that. I still want to say all WNY.
Which served us well.
Served us well. Thank you, Scott Leffler. So, we usually talk about previous shows here. I haven't been to any. I was in Toronto last weekend. I did a wedding this weekend. I did at the wedding. I was the man of honor. And I helped bring in some of the musical talent, so I got to see DJ Soyotos, friend of the podcast, been in some records there. He did a great job.
Very awesome, as always.
Joe and Noah from Sentinel 6, who's a great prog rock kind of funk band. They do a lot of jammy stuff. They came as a two-piece and did some covers and some real pretty acoustic stuff. So
nice. Good mix.
I can say for either of them, if you're getting married, not a bad place to go.
Yeah, cover all the bases.
Exactly. Spinwires, have you guys seen any good shows lately?
We were at Porch Fest too long ago, so we caught probably 24 bands there just walking around.
Oh, what were the
beers?
Yeah, what were the highlights?
Ooh.
I think for me, there was a Pearl Jam cover band down the street from where we were playing.
Unleash the Lion.
Yeah, is that where they are? Right. I didn't catch the name, but I thought they sounded outstanding.
There was, like, I was on some of the side streets, but, like, we came out for... to, like, go get some food onto Elmwood, and that's where the holy cow, the people were everywhere out there.
It was great.
I saw this, The Lady or the Tiger, and Newspeak, and they were all great. Any other highlights?
We saw a young lady walking by with a parrot on her shoulder as we were playing a show outside of the church do we play outside of, RJ?
That big church on Lafayette and Elmwood is where we were.
Lafayette Church, yeah, which is pretty cool.
We also saw a guy on one of those like old-timey like bicycles with like a giant front wheel and like two tiny back wheels, and he was driving that down the street with a skeleton on the back of the bike.
Nice.
Oddly enough, if it says "Hail Satan," if it's painted in black on the bottom of it, I know that guy.
That's probably him. I can't imagine there's more than one guy driving around on a bicycle with a skeleton behind it.
We've got a lot of hipsters here in Buffalo. Yeah, there's a lot of weird stuff when you get downtown. All right, well.
Weird and wonderful.
Yes.
We'll talk about our upcoming shows in a later segment, but that's about all we got. So next up, we're going to play 11.8 by Leda. Leda is a five-piece. They've got kind of a funky sound to them, a very organic sounding. I don't want to use the word female-fronted, but I really don't know what else, because they are.
Okay.
But
just go with that.
Safi, who sings for the band, has just the most gorgeous voice. Her backing band is really fun and energetic and funky, and they're great. So here's 11.8 by Leda on the Struggle Is Real Buffalo Music Podcast on thinktwiceradio.com. And we are back on the Struggle Is Real Buffalo Music Podcast. That was Leda, 11.8. And now, to introduce them, we are joined with the Spinwires. We have Tyson. Oh, let's do camera. There. And we have RJ.
Nice camera usage, dude.
Wow.
You're not a pro.
No, I'm doing it wrong.
You got skills
there we
that
go.
Kills.
There's RJ. I'm not RJ. And then I do that one. And then we go to Tyson. This is all very new. I'm going to do the double screen with you later.
Yeah, we got to do the hollow squares thing.
Welcome, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah,
welcome.
Thank you.
So let's talk about, you have a new EP coming out. It is called
Designated Distraction.
Yes, there it is. I knew it had two D's in it.
So I brought a little copy for you. So here you are, sir.
Much. Oh, thank you.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
So where'd you guys record it?
We recorded it in Oblivion Studios, which is down in Rochester, New York, with a recording engineer named Kevin Murphy.
Yep. Awesome. And how long has this been in the works for?
This one has been in the works for almost 3 years now.
Wow.
I'd say, yeah.
Yeah, some big life events between our second EP and this one, you know, finishing up school and getting jobs and all that. So, and band members moving away, new band members coming in. So this one's been in the works for a while.
It's been cooking. It's been in the oven, yeah. And it's ready. It's been marinated.
Yes.
And all these life events kind of add to the character and the flair and the meat of the CD. So,
yeah,
it's a good 3 years.
So, you guys do a lot of work in publishing.
Yeah, we do.
So, I think there's, you know, there's certainly money to be made in selling albums and touring, but, you know, a lot of the money can be made through publishing. So, where did you guys get started with that?
Okay. So, it's funny you mentioned names earlier. The Spinwires, when we came up with a band name, we were thinking to ourselves, you know, I listened to this band in Australia, and its name was Shoe, and that was it, S-H-O-E, and I could never find their music online. So when we were coming up with the band names, I said, I want something that when you plug into the internet, when you plug in Google, we're going to be the first thing that comes up. They're not going to be confused with something else, you know. So we came up with the Spinwires. And so, you know, kind of in that vein, when we started the band, we wasn't really quite sure what we were going to do, what we were going to be. We were thinking a 90s rock band, and then we decided we were going to write original music, and we did go with original music. And after we came out with the first CD, you know, CD sales aren't great. You know, selling things on iTunes, download Spotify, they pay a little bit. But I was always really interested in getting music into TV shows, video games, things of that nature. So, you know, I did first it was very, very much DIY, okay? Mm-hmm. We recorded our first CD, and there's a website called IndieDB where indie video game developers sort of have websites, and they have groups, and they're working on a video game, and they're sort of showing off the demos and stuff like that. And so what I did is I said, well, I've got some rock music. It sounds pretty good. It sounds commercial quality. You know, I'm getting compliments on it. I'm going to go through, and I'm going to find every video game that I think looks cool that doesn't have music yet and say, hey, would you like to have our music in here? I'll do it for free, just, you know, pro bono. And so I did that to a couple games, racing games, games with zombies in them and stuff, and most people just ignored it, you know, but it was free. So one of them got back to me and said, hey, you know, I like this song, Girls Like You, you have. I like how in it the chorus line goes, you better run, you better run. I've got a video game that's coming out for the PSP, and you run from zombies in it. It's like an endless running game. You know, could you maybe take that song, change the words around, re-record the vocals. I'll pay you guys to do it. Go in the studio, and I said, yeah, I'd love to do it. That sounds fun. Get ourselves a song in a video game, and so we did that. And from there, you know, I suddenly developed a relationship with this publisher who publishes a number of different games. And so then the next game he was coming out with, which was even bigger for the PlayStation 4, he said, you know, this is a game where you just shoot zombies essentially, called Kill All Zombies. You play it on Twitch and
nice.
Stuff. And he said, you know, would you write the theme song for it? Sure. So we just wrote
awesome.
The theme song. So that's with video games. Now, I mean, I could talk a whole bunch and maybe give some advice to finding publishers and stuff like that as well if you want. But you let me know.
Yeah, no,
I just don't
want
to talk the whole time.
We're educational here.
Okay.
So, and I know, you know, and that's about, you know, switch over. Mike included. You know, I think, I mean, I'm actually, at this point in my life, you know, I'm a 40-year-old musician. So for me, you know, thinking about getting into publishing makes a lot more sense than, you know, I don't want to tour. I'm too old for
Yeah.
that. But, you know, the idea that I can sit at my computer and self-publish and mm-hmm. use that as a means, and especially if you look at video games just as a whole, the number of games is just...
Sure.
Yeah, it's exploding.
Right. So it's a great place to get into. So.
There's so many more content creators now than there have ever been. And so I think some folks, you know, you talk to musicians and they'll say, you know, there's so much music out there and nobody's buying CDs. And, you know, it's harder now ever to make it because there's so many people. And it's like, you don't understand. There's more YouTube creators. There's more
yes.
video game makers. There's more flash animation makers. There's more this and that. And they all need music.
They need music, yeah.
Yeah, and they want original music,
and
right?
There's not enough of it.
Exactly.
Even though everybody says you do that, oh, everybody does it, well, more people need it.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. So there's a couple avenues that I've explored, that I've gone down, that we found success in. So I've gone the traditional route, and that's, so you're a Buffalo band, you release a CD, and we're not signed to a record label, and I thought about it, and I decided I didn't want to go that route. So I decide, so if you're a band, you publish a CD, you can go with a record label. Usually a record label handles all the publishing rights, and they'll find a publisher for you. I didn't do that. I just self-published, just like most other folks. And so then I decided, okay, you know, do I want to find a publisher? Yes, because they're going to have way more connections. So the first publisher I went with, I just searched online. There's lists you can find of publishers online. And I sent our music out to a bunch of them. And the first one that bit back was Lyric House Publishing. And they were a outfit out of Denver, and they've since expanded in California. And they bit back, and they said, yeah, we're interested. But we want an exclusive on all your music, and we want it for 5 years. And they sent me a contract. Fortunately for me, when we wrote our first album, we were both going to law school. And now we're both attorneys. Yeah, when I read through the contract, I said, whoa, this is pretty intense. I'm assigning a lot over here. Can I make a couple of red lines? I talked to them on the phone, and they said, yeah, sure, you can make some changes. So I made some changes. And surprisingly, they agreed that it would be a non-exclusive deal that they'd have, and they could go out and try to... And the standard publishing arrangement is 50% for the publisher, 50% for the musician. So... I redlined the contract. I sent it back to them. They said, yeah, that's fine. We're still interested in having you. And we signed up with them. And we were fortunate enough to, through them, get one of our songs in the show Shameless. Mm-hmm. So that's putting somebody to work for you, right?
Absolutely.
I didn't do the legwork. I didn't have to go to the music supervisors or anything like that. So you could do that. So that's Lyric House Publishing. There's a lot of exclusive publishing, you know, smaller outfits, you know, five or six employees, two or three folks. But there's also stock music, too, that people can go to, too. So you think about Getty Images, right? I think everybody's familiar with stock photography. Getty Images also does stock music, too.
Oh.
So you can submit your music to Getty Music, and... it's interesting. We don't make a lot of money off of Getty Music. I mean, the Shameless is probably one of the bigger things we've gotten, but I put some of our music onto Getty Music, and it's a very simple process for anybody that's in Buffalo. You know, you just go to Getty Music website, you submit your music, and you have to make sure, this is, goes back to your point, you talk about infringement festival, you're talking about bios. What genre are you in? Okay.
Yes.
And how would you describe your music? Is it upbeat? Is it catchy? Is it downbeat? Is it depressing? Is it emotional? You know, all these things. And then you'd have to name off your genres. And this is very important for Getty Images, because they use that when they're putting you into their system. It's also important that when you record an album that you get instrumental versions too. Even if you've got all lyrical versions, you need instrumental versions.
For reaching out, even just for, you know, podcast themes, I've been reaching out to a few bands. I'm like, do you have this without vocals? I would use this if you had it. So that's a really good thing to have when you get a final mix, is to get an instrumental version.
Yeah.
And then you can do karaoke. And who doesn't want to do karaoke?
Exactly. Exactly. And if you have the vocal version and the instrumental version, even if there's spots where they want to use it with vocals, they can cut it, splice it in and out with the instrumental, so they can talk over it or whatever they want to do. And 90% of the time when you're licensing music, at least in my experience, it's been instrumental. They've always wanted the version without vocals because they've got scenes or talking or things like that.
Sure.
So Getty Music, that's another one. And it's great because, you know, you go... I just saw last month, and we didn't get much money off this. We got like $20. But a company that plays music at gas station pumps. You know, you drive up to a gas station pump and you hear that background music.
You hear it, but you don't hear it.
You don't hear it, right?
It's just going through you. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's little things like that. And we through Getty Music too, we've actually been in TV shows too. Like NBC2 had Player Style Files. Do you remember that, RJ?
Yeah.
What was the name of the Eagles player that? It was like Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous Sports Stars or something, and some like football player had a bar. He was a tight end of the Philadelphia Eagles, and they were playing one of our songs for about a minute and a half during it. So
that was very cool.
So stock music, Getty Music is just one example. There's many more out there that I would suggest, because I think there's a way to make an equal part to make a living out of music, or not make a living, but you know, subsidize your hobby, subsidize your fun, buy your instruments, buy your gear. It's like live shows, probably 50-60% of the money make, and then like licensing, you know, 40-50%, honestly. And then CD scales and streams are like 5-10%, honestly.
Do you guys ever consider doing trailers? Like big orchestral pieces, just big band jam pieces, and then try and get them out to movie trailers or even major movies. That takes more gumption, though. Yeah.
Yeah. So, let me back up. So, I also just compose music with video games separately. That's like electronic music, and I've written for video games and stuff. But for the Spinwires music, I mean, this is original music that we write, that we play live. And then if we can find stuff that wants to license it, we'd love to do it. And then, of course, if there's little projects in between where it works out, like that video game, Kill All Zombies, it was sort of like, can you write a song about killing zombies? And it's rock music. I was like, yeah, this is like right up our alley. Yeah. We'd love to do that. Like,
absolutely.
Just in case anyone's looking, the official title, isn't it hashtag Kill All Zombies?
Hashtag Kill All Zombies. Yep.
Yes.
It's a very cleverly built game because while you're playing it, you're playing it on the PlayStation 4 or whatever, you can watch it on Twitch and the audience can change as what's happening. So you're a guy fighting zombies in an arena, and if people are watching you on Twitch or online, they can type things with the hashtag and they can make more zombies appear. They can make weapons drop. They can make like parts of the level fall off. So it has like sort of this internet interaction. And that's how they, you know, because there's plenty of twin stick shooters where you're just shooting zombies, right? But this had sort of a different aspect.
That's fantastic. I didn't know about that. That's a fun mechanic.
So, so there's that, and you know, we're a regional band, and we don't tour. I mean, we've just played, you know, upstate New York essentially. But it's nice to have a little bit of extra reach. It's nice to get, you know, RJ manages our Instagram account, but he tells me that, you know, restaurants in Israel are following us and playing our music in their restaurants and stuff like that.
Yep. So you sort of get
get a global reach out of it.
Yeah, people from like over in Europe will find our stuff on the internet from time to time, reach out to us on Instagram and say, hey, you know, I have a great idea to do a remix with your music.
That's awesome.
And every time we're like, you know, of course, like, right ahead. And then they send it over, and it's always very interesting and cool. So
I just wanted to have something of mine remixed.
Yeah.
That means someone likes your music enough to take it and then create a whole new piece of art out of it. That's pretty amazing. Yeah. So where do you guys usually play? I noticed you play Good Bar a lot.
Yes.
Is that kind of your...
Yeah, that's like our... it's our home away from home. Yeah, that's our home base. That's sort of... And that's a good bar to play. No pun intended. you know, they give you the whole door.
That's nice.
They have a usual built-in crowd, but if you bring people as well, it helps. And so, and they have Buff State right there. So we've been playing there for... 5 years now, at least, and
we love it.
Yeah, we've got 5 or 6 shows there, but we've played other places. We've played Nietzsche, we've played DBGB's, different festivals and things of that nature. We've played Infringement Festival before. That's a ton of fun. That's a great thing.
This year's festival is going to be pretty awesome.
Yeah, we played Cobblestone Fest as well. That was pretty fun.
Yep. Yeah, that was a good time.
Yeah.
So the album comes out officially on June 29th.
Mm-hmm.
Are you guys having any sort of release party for it? I know there was a pre-release party, which I think is hilarious.
Yeah. we had a pre-release
party. Building
the
anticipation.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we had a secret. It was sort of like a secret release show, and what we did was we said, look, if you come to the show, we've got 20 copies that we've printed,
and it's just
for the fans really, you know, want to get their hands on it, but don't post it online. The official drop date online is June 29th, so get it in person. Buy the old fashion hard copy, you know, and you get a sneak peek.
No, I've been finding we had John Janakiewicz from Dreadnecks come here, and he was telling us how his other band, the Scarecrow Show, they did physical copies 6 months before any sort of digital release, so they could maximize the most out of selling their album. So people would have, if you want that music, at least for the first 6 months, you have to come to their show. So I think having that availability ahead of time definitely kind of helps push.
That's clever.
I thought it was real smart. Yeah. I still don't think there's been a physical release yet. I meant to switch to me. Man, this for people who can't see this camera thing, am I doing a good job, Mike?
Funky,
are you
bro.
Watching it? Yeah.
Yeah.
And then,
you're doing a good job.
For the people watching the video, I'm watching.
I don't know what a good job
screen,
means, though, but you're doing it, dude.
And it's, I think I mentioned that earlier. It's weird. There's me again.
You're everywhere.
Yeah, I'm gonna start.
It looks professional.
I'm gonna put Mike on the spot, and that's just gonna be.
Hey, thanks, man.
The whole podcast is just gonna be you leaning back and smiling while the three of us talk.
Oh. You know, one other thing I wanna push for a second, because this is for local bands and that are looking for opportunities. I don't know if you had Danimal Cannon on here once, didn't you?
Oh, yes, I did. He was fantastic.
He's awesome, and he gets his music and video games, too, as well. There's a local nonprofit called the Buffalo Game Space. I don't know if you're familiar with them.
Yes, I'm very happy you mentioned that.
Yeah. There's these guys and gals that hang out in the Tri-Main building, and all the time they're just developing video games, and there's artists, and there's coders, and all that, programmers, all that stuff, but they need music as well.
Absolutely.
So that's another avenue for musicians to come by and get, you know, share their art, share their music, share their passion, and get it into a video game and make relationships and build connections. And so
sure, and even if I think you just have a general interest in chiptune music, that's probably the place to find your people.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be chiptune music, because they do old school video games, and I know a bunch of chiptune artists, and they're awesome, like Danimal, and there's some more Hang On, Get Ready, and some other folks that are great chiptunes. But some video games, they just need straight up electronic or techno. Some want rock, you know. So depending on what you are, you know, I've played video games, you know, that has folk music in it, right?
Oh, sure,
you know? So. Yeah.
Do you guys usually have a direction when you're doing composing your music? You're like, hey, I want this to be on that, or you just write freely and just say, hey, man, I'm feeling this today. This is what it's going to be. I'm going to blow it out, do it, and then say, hey, maybe that would go good with that. You know, what usually comes first? You have a source first, or you just have an emotion and vibe, and then you do it from there?
Emotion and vibe.
Yeah.
We just write it.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yep, whatever. I mean, sometimes, you know, one of the guys will come to the studio with, you know, a specific idea, and here's like my skeleton of the song, and laid it out. And we've had luck other times where we're just kind of like, something just like pops into your head, and you're just like, all right, let's do this now, and see how it comes out. And we've had luck with that. So
yeah, even if they give you a loose guideline, it's still kind of hard to pigeonhole yourself and to say, hey, I'm going to write this for this, and it's going to sound great. Whereas if you just write it freely, you're like, hey, that sounds great.
Right.
Yeah.
So who are some of your favorite local bands?
Let's see. We've played with a lot of folks. RJ, you start.
I'll
put you on the spot.
I'm a big fan of Humble Braggers.
Braggers are great.
Yes.
Yeah, we had them on a while ago, yeah.
Oh, nice. Good.
Tom's a super talented guy.
Yeah, they're incredibly talented.
We played with, he was in a cover band too, the Screaming Jeans.
Girl Jeans.
That was easy. Yeah. Screaming Jeans was another band. Yeah. Girl Jeans.
Yes.
And they did emo covers, which was, they sold out Good Bar. It was a fun show.
Oh, I bet.
Humble Braggers are great.
Well, so we played with Handsome Jack. We played with them before.
Yeah, they're great as well.
Nice. Handsome Jack was our last guest.
Handsome Jack. Were they?
They were on a wish list of bands that I'm like, maybe I'll get these guys sometimes. And then they approached me.
Yeah.
They were like, can we come on the podcast? I'm like, yeah. Like you do whatever you want. He's like, I think I'm the drummer. I'm the only one who can make it. I'm like, I don't care. Jesus. Come on. No, they're heading back to Europe in July, which we'll be talking about in the next segment, actually.
Yeah, they are.
We played Rock for Autism with them, the Rock for Autism Festival with them.
Yeah.
They were awesome, you know.
Yep.
It's always tough following. I can't remember if we played before or after, but in any event, they did. They kicked it out of the park, man.
Yeah.
They were great.
Absolutely.
I also liked a band that came out of Buffalo but then moved to L.A., which was the Royal Tongues, and they were pretty cool, too.
I've heard of them.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think they're together anymore, but they put out some good stuff a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Any more favorite bands from you, RJ?
Oh, man. Testing my memory. That's all I can recall for now.
That's the word. People are like, oh, you listen to local music all the time. You must be able to recommend some stuff. And I'm like, what did I listen to today? And it's like, oh, shit, I don't know. I'm like, check my Facebook page, something like that.
Right. Oh, Made Violent. I like them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Of course. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I forgot about them.
We've got the same. It's funny. We have the same practice space on 902 Kenmore with, you know, all these bands, and you hear them playing, like, while you're playing, and you sort of stop for a moment, and you're like, oh, they sound really good.
Yeah. Yeah. Made Violent's great. I like their sound a lot.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Spinwires, thank you so much for coming on. We are going to play Time is a Fire, which is the first track from Designated Distraction. It's out on July 29th. We mentioned the pre-party. Is there going to be a release show or?
No, we're not going to do. The next show we have lined up is, I think, in September. We're
We may be doing something potentially at Ironworks in July, but we're
Cool.
Working out the details.
Oh, nice place in the summer to play.
Let us know about that. We'll share that on the Facebook.
Yeah, we'll do.
All right. So thanks again to the Spinwires. This is Time is a Fire from Designated Distraction, releasing on July 29th here on the Struggle is Real Buffalo Music Podcast on thinktwiceradio.com.
Time is a fire in which we all burn. You never get it right, waiting your turn. Break the window wide, drink the day. When you've given up, give it away. Give it away. Give it away. Give it away. Time is a fire we can't live without. Can you bring it in and put it out? Time is a fire we can't live without. Can you bring it in and bring it out?
That was Time is a Fire from the Spinwires, who are going to be hanging out for the rest of the show. And speaking of shows, let's talk about upcoming shows.
Yes, let's do that, Ryan.
There's a lot of fun stuff coming up. On June 21st, the Struggle is Real is putting on another show. This is going to be at Milky's. We have a friend of the podcast, DJ Soyotos. He's going to be spinning some records and having a dance party. We're going to have Sean and B. B is Brandon Sylvia from Intent to Sell, who is one of the coolest rappers in Buffalo. They're a new duo. They just put out a full length like a week ago, which we're going to play a song from at the end of the segment. They're going to be really cool. Kelly Vellucci is, he's another fun guy. Type Relevant is live band, hip hop, and that's, oh man, there's nothing better to me than a full live band like hip hop. That really brings it to life for me. Chucky Campbell's the same way. He's got a drummer and a couple horn players singing along with him. And we also have 86 Supreme coming from New York City. It is going to be a super fun show, a lot of dancing. Come check it out. And then on June 22nd at Tudor Lounge, we have Over and Out. They are releasing another new album. They just put out an EP. Might have even been earlier this year. We played a song from it back in January, I want to say. They're putting a new album out. If you haven't heard Over and Out, it's almost kind of gypsy-inspired.
Ooh, very cool.
String, kind of bluegrass. It has has kind of that bright eyes, I'm either going to write a really cool song or I'm going to, like, hurt myself kind of vibe to it. And
It will be a cool song, darn it.
They are playing at Tudor Lounge. Jungle Steve is going to be there, and Wyatt Coyne. I saw Wyatt Coyne on May 4th at Mohawk Place. I think they're the best folk punk band in the area. They're
nice.
It's just the dude's voice. I wish I remembered his name. He's just got this big, thick, like broke to him. It almost sounds Irish, like, or even Scottish, the way he brings it up, and it's just, he is, they're fantastic. They're a tour de force. I've seen them with as few as like 3 people and as many as like 15. So they're always a fun time. And then on July 6th, Handsome Jack's European Tour Kickoff is going on at Buffalo Ironworks. First Ward is going to be there. First Ward is a super fun kind of Americana-ish kind of
band. Nice compliment. Yeah. Nice compliment with Handsome. Yeah.
Yeah, and Handsome Jack was on the last episode. They're one of the best bands in Buffalo. And if you tune in to the episode with Handsome Jack, you can listen to Benny Hayes talk about how you can tour overseas and actually make money doing so, or at least not lose money, which is really the goal in all
of
this.
That's the game. Yeah,
yeah,
that's the game.
I just don't want to be poor. But I'm there anyway.
Aww. But you're happy, Ryan.
Oh, there's so much you don't know, Mike. All right, so I mentioned Sean and B. We are going to play a track. It's called One of These Old Days. It's from their new EP, Sayin' Words, Part 1. And we'll be right back here on the Struggle Is Real Buffalo Music Podcast on thinktwiceradio.com. All right, cool.
Nice.
Built it, brought it back to life just so I could kill it again. It's that feeling, gotta fill the gap when your skills are tilted and your will is wilted. Feels like you're in a chamberlain with no footage, or you keeping it 100 to the latest fan. It ain't painless when you stuck in a box, and they gave you all the keys but they took all the locks. At least they left you on your feet but they took all the socks. Pushing 11 degrees with your foot on the block, it's as treacherous as 7 seas, nowhere to dock. Hoping celestial beings will put the fear to a stop, but this is the message that I'm forcing to your ears with a knock. Till I'm left hoarse like equestrians leaving their job, just know that you're in control whether you believe it or not. Then your quest could be as effortless as 2 feet to walk, you know, cuz
one of these old days, it'll all be over. One of these old days, it'll all be over. One of these old days,
yeah. I share what I believe like it's a fashion, I wear it on my sleeve. Too many passing, I barely wanna grieve, barely wanna breathe. So the air that I receive's burning marijuana leaf to help me carry on, proceed, carry on my creed. If I leave for my future and I carry on my seed, tell my people if there's weight, I carry if you need. If it's wearing on your bearings, we can carry on the speed. I'm just one man, one life I live. I'm the only one that should take advice I give. Life hits you, life is gonna split you, choose you up, spit you, lose but don't quit. The rules you don't get to choose, but every shoe don't fit. What you got right now, you can't take with. Yo, I seen the proof, and on my last day spent when I speak the truth, but really can't say shit. While I'm young in this pro stage, you're up in the old age, I'm loving it both ways.
One of these old days.
Yeah.
That's all for episode 38. Tune back on July 1st for episode number 39. We should have some music and interviews from the Scathe album release party on June 14th at Town Ballroom. Friends of the podcast, Scarecrow Show is going to be there along with Erie Shores and Carpool.
And
this is why Mike should rehearse the script more. Here, Mike. Everyone's going to watch you.
Pressure's on.
Come on, Mike.
Also, you can find the Sumoers on all major streaming platforms. Their new EP, Designated Distraction, will be available on June 29th of this year.
You got another line.
Nailed it.
You got another line.
Check out Think Toys Radio's huge library of locally sourced and organically grown podcasts, including Paula Wachowiak's The Common Book.
I saw Paula Wachowiak play Washboard.
Nice.
And so the description of The Common Book is: a common book is an ongoing event in the history of your reading. It's an essential part of your character and your life. Like the meals you have eaten, your common book is what you have fed your brain. It is not a compilation of hunter's trophies, but the living animals
themselves.
Ooh,
I like that.
So tune in to The Common Book and find out whatever the hell that means. All right, folks.
Very nice. Open
you can
to
find
interpretation.
Us, you can find us on Facebook. Oh, Mike, play some background music for me. Do we have background that ready music? Yet, or is that next episode?
I think
we're gonna
we have that. Hold, please. Hey,
all right.
Let's do it.
You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/The Struggle Is Real Podcast. We are on Twitter at SIRPodcastNY. You can reach out to me on Facebook and Twitter at Sir William Idle. That is all for us. Being a musician is chaos. Please be kind. See you next time and keep struggling.